Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
And welcome to Today's Issues. I'm Ed Vitagliano, sitting in for Tim Wildman, who's feeling a little bit under the weather today. And not really sure where that saying originated from. I'm joined in studio by Walker Wildman. Walker, welcome.
Good morning. Good Tuesday morning.
Good Tuesday morning. We are also joined by Ray Pritchard, Dr. Ray Pritchard. You know what? I knew you were going to be in studio.
Right,
I should have come up with, you know, some fantastic introductory comments. I usually try to think of something.
You know, well, usually I'm in Dallas. It's an unusual occurrence to make it here to home base in Tupelo. And so, Ed, Fred, and Walker, great to be with you guys in person, in the flesh.
Here.
Yeah,
that's right. And I don't know if our listeners know, but you are on the AFA Board of Directors.
Yes.
So that's why you're here. We have our board meeting today. Dan Celia was in studio live. We have Ray Pritchard in studio live. So that's
here we are.
Keep Leaving Ministries. Tell our listeners a little bit about what the website is and what you do.
Well, if you come to keepbelieving.com, you'll find an online repository, Bible study, sermons, podcast, outlines, biblical resources to help Christians and Americans around the world to get to know Jesus and then find the strength and courage to keep believing in Him. So that website is keepbelieving.com.
All right. And Fred Jackson, who's our news director for American Family News and One News Now, also in studio. Good morning, Fred.
Yeah, as usual.
As usual, Fred's here hanging around like an old cat or something.
I was waiting to see how you were going to finish that sentence.
I have the answer to under the weather, the origins of under the weather.
Okay, what is it?
So according to a website, it's not Wikipedia, but another website, it says when people would sail back in the day, and probably now also, but it originated decades ago, sailors who were sick on the ship would go under the deck, and so under the weather.
Huh.
Out of the weather.
A nautical reference.
Yes,
nice.
Exactly.
Nice.
And if Wikipedia says it's true, man,
it's
true.
It's got to be true.
If it's on the internet, it's true, right?
You know, I will say that I know for years after Wikipedia came on, you know, became a reality of daily life. Because I know it was a reality when my kids were still in school. That they were always told by teachers or professors, depending on their age, you don't use Wikipedia as a source. But I got to tell you, it is the first place I go.
That's right.
I don't quote it, but I do go there and then bounce off it to somewhere if I need a real source. So, all right, Fred. You know what? There's hardly anything going on. I just don't know.
The world is so slow.
It's just amazing. The world is at peace.
That's right.
Peace and politics. It's really a wonderful. It's really a wonderful fantasy, isn't it?
There you have Ed's world.
Yes.
That's right.
In Water's world, you have Ed's world.
That's right.
Ed's world. Listen, we've got a lot of serious news to talk about, but I want to start off with something on a more positive note, if I can, this morning.
Sure. Bring it.
For the first time in many weeks, they opened the White House again this morning to tours. So tourists can come in and you get to see at least some of the White House. Well, the first visitors, the first tourists this morning were treated to a real treat. They got to see the president.
Really?
Now,
very rare.
White House before, right.
You never see him, right?
No.
Never.
He poked his head from behind a red curtain and waved everybody, said hello. But then here's what he did. He came out and he pulled 10-year-old Jack Cornish from Birmingham, Alabama, from the crowd and gave him a big hug.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's just awesome.
You can just picture what a thrill for that 10-year-old. He gets a hug from the president
of the United States.
And he was hiding behind a red curtain and then popped out.
That's
cool.
His head out. Hi guys, how are you?
Well, that's if you needed any more proof that President Trump is not a politician.
That's right.
That's proof.
Yeah.
That's just what somebody would do just a regular person. So although he's up, a billionaire, I'm not how regular he is.
But. Gives the little boy a hug, you know. And it's I say all this because, you know, everybody's aware of what's going on. There's controversy, and back and forth and all of this sort of thing. But I've also seen the pictures of him heading to Marine One, which is the helicopter, with a grandchild in either hand. It's a whole different image of Donald Trump than what the mainstream media would try to give you. So, you know, he's the president of the United States, but he's a dad and he's a granddad. And I really do think he loves kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that during the campaign, he talked about his own a lot.
Yeah.
He obviously had a very close, it's impossible to tell from this side of the image, but it seemed genuine, his love for his kids and his relationship with them. And everyone commented, I don't remember whether it was one of the first debates or what, or at some point when maybe it was the convention. I'm trying to remember, but it was clear that he and his kids had a good relationship, and he had taken part, even though he's a billionaire, he had taken part in raising them and instructing them.
So. Well, his kids were the only generated the only compliment that he got from Hillary Clinton. Remember at the end,
right.
One of the
debates, right.
Can you say anything good about your opponent? And Hillary Clinton said, did a good job raising those
and
kids.
And I'll say this, to be fair, nonpartisan, the Obama family also seemed to be very happy. Mm-hmm. And,
yes.
You know, good family dynamics going on there. And so we look for that. It's the American Family Association. We look at that, family, marriage, as being critical components to the health of our society. So we want to applaud it whenever we, at least from our perspective, can see something worth applauding.
Mm-hmm. All right, on to the news of the day. Well, you know, during the election campaign, one of the promises, platforms of the Republicans was repeal and replace Obamacare. Well, the long-awaited, at least, and I'll call it the first stab by the Republicans at doing just that, the House last night, House Republicans released what they're calling the American Health Care Act. The American Health Care Act, you are going to see a bunch of stuff on that today and in the coming days. And basically, now the story says repeals most of the Affordable Care Act's taxes, but at a later date than originally envisioned. That's going to be a question mark, how fast they're able to bring things in. It's going to stop penalizing people if you don't have health insurance, which is a mighty unpopular thing with Obamacare, basically fining people if you don't have healthcare insurance. They're going to replace, and I'm going to put the word replace in quotation mark, guys, because the subsidies under Obamacare, the Republicans saying we're replacing those with tax credits. Now, a tax credit, it's not a deduction. You know, if you're filling out your taxes, it's not a deduction. A tax credit, as some Republicans are already saying, it's a subsidy by another name.
Mm-hmm.
In order, you know, it's going to be income-based, et cetera, et cetera. So, kind of sounds like subsidies under Obamacare, but they're going to call it tax credits. It's age-based, not income-based, as they are under Obamacare. But in that bill they released last night, would be reduced for individuals earning more than $75,000 and for households earning more than $150,000. So those are there. There are some things, as we expected from Obamacare, that they kept, one of them being that your kids stay on mom and dad's plan until they're 26. They're going to hold on to that. Here's basically, I think, what's going on. I believe there is a desire amongst pretty well all Republicans to replace Obamacare. And there's the segment of Republicans that want this done right away, and they don't even want anything that even looks like Obamacare. But then there's another segment of the Republican Party, and they're already speaking out, is that we can't be to the point where the pendulum swings that there's a whole pile of people who are uninsured.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to bring something, and I'm not endorsing this tactic, but I think what the House Republicans are attempting to do is to bring the pendulum into the center so that you don't have a bunch of people getting on the nightly news out here saying, I lost my coverage, I don't have anything anymore, I'm in dire straits. One of the other things we believe this American Health Care Act is going to do is hold on to, at least for now, the pre-existing conditions. That was another thing. Now, one of the Republicans is a Republican Senator Rand Paul. He's already out there this morning. And he's calling on his people. He just put out a press release a few moments ago, calling on his people. He's from Kentucky to sign a petition to send to the Republicans to say, be brave, be strong, let's get rid of Obamacare. And he's an advocate of that. Just get rid of everything and basically start over again. Here it is, the House Republicans, they put it out there. Now you're going to have this Donnybrook of a fight. Donnybrook is a hockey term, folks. Yeah. You're going to have this Donnybrook of a fight amongst the Republicans. The Democrats are going to have their say. But I think, first of all, there has to be a coming together, if that's possible, of the Republicans, not only in the House, but also the Republicans in the Senate, before they can move forward to see if they can get this through.
Well, I want us to dive into this, and Walker and Ray, I want to get your insights. But first, we want to welcome to the program Frank Turek, who's an author and dynamic speaker. He's host of the radio program Cross Examined, that's heard on AFR Talk each Saturday from 9 to 10 Central, each Sunday from 4 to 5 p.m. Central. Frank, welcome to today's issues.
Hey, what's wrong with you guys? Don't you know we have to pass this bill in order to find out what's in it?
Well, Frank, I wanted to get your take on it. Was that it?
We got to pass the bill, as Nancy Pelosi said, before we can know what's in it. Remember she said that with Obamacare? We got to pass it, and then we'll know what's in it. So I don't know why you guys are even discussing it. Let's just pass the thing, and then we'll figure out what's in it.
Well, Ray, I'm good with that.
Well, I think what's going to happen is, Fred, is exactly what you said. There is a huge fight inside the Republican Party. Forget the Democrats for the moment, right? Mm-hmm. How in the world are you going to bring together Rand Paul, who's calling it Obamacare Lite,
right,
and the folks inside the House? What's the essential difference between whatever Rand Paul wants and this bill that was proposed yesterday?
Yeah, the two things that he mentioned were the individual mandate, which apparently stays in place in a different form. Instead of you having to pay a penalty to the government for not getting your insurance or changing your insurance, you have to pay an individual fee to the insurance company.
Yeah, that's right. If you skip a year,
right,
with your, let's say it's Blue Cross or whatever the case may be, then the insurance company can charge you like a 30% more when you go to get the premium next year. Mm-hmm. So the penalizing phase of this is kind of going to the insurance companies versus paying a fine to the government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some several. It doesn't really decrease this bill. The original language of this bill doesn't really decrease government federal fingers in your health care. It just kind of changes some things around. And I think Rand Paul is concerned that if we – and there's a lot of subsidies. There's still subsidies under different language that go to the insurance companies in this. I think Rand Paul is for less government and more opportunity.
Well, you mentioned two. Do you remember the other one?
Yeah, the second one was the government subsidies that will still be going to these insurance companies. And so it's – and the pre-existing conditions, that sounds great. But that's not realistic at all. And these insurance companies, I don't think they like that, because you can have, you know, it's kind of like car insurance. You wreck your car and then you go get insurance for it. That doesn't make sense, because the insurance company has no payments from you, but yet they're supposed to replace your car. Mm. And so while that sounds good, it sounds nice, that's not realistic.
Yeah, I think the truth of the matter, too, is that everybody in America has health care, but not everybody has health insurance. That's the difference. You know, you can go to any emergency room and they have to treat you. I know that's a very expensive way to treat people. Mm-hmm. But the point here is not everybody has health insurance. And that's what they're trying to work through. Now, to create another government entitlement is just going to completely weigh down our government more so than it's already been weighed down. Do you guys know that during the Obama years, and I don't know how it's going right now, but during the Obama years, there were points or times in the Obama years when we as a nation were overspending by $50,000 per second. Mm. $50,000 per second. That was the deficit that year when we had that, what was it, a $1.5 trillion deficit, something like, something crazy. I can't remember the number. But I remember $50,000 per second in overspending. That's not spending. That's spending more than we're taking in. And we're going to create more entitlements. Look, 47% of the people out there don't pay any income tax. So if you're going to give an income tax credit to somebody who's not paying income tax, how does that work?
Well, I, like Fred mentioned, the way those things work is if you qualify. I just know – I've known people who, when they file their taxes, they check off boxes or they have to do whatever little calculations, you know, whether it's earned income tax credit or child care. And it, and if you qualify, you actually get money back from the government.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like you said, it's different from a tax deduction where you say, okay, I spent – $4,000 on health care this year. Here are my receipts. I don't have to pay a certain percentage of my taxes because that's absorbed by the tax deduction. This is a tax credit, so money will be going to people who qualify.
It's a subsidy.
It
happens now. You know, there are families who get a check from the government for $5,000 or whatever. They didn't pay any taxes.
Right.
They like to call it a refund. Yes. But you can't get a refund on something that you didn't fund in
right.
the beginning.
But it operates like one in this way. You file your taxes and you get a check from the government.
Yes.
So whereas I sometimes get a refund, get a check from the government or direct deposit, and folks who get a tax credit also get a check,
yep.
and it is treated like a refund. But you're right, they don't pay the taxes on it.
Another aspect of this very quickly included in this, as they're calling it, the American Health Care Act, is the defunding of Planned Parenthood. And, you know, there was a story this morning that's out there that President Trump made an offer to Planned Parenthood. Now, this is a report that if you stop doing abortions, then you'll continue to get funds for the other things that Planned Parenthood allegedly does. And, of course, Cecile Richards, is it the president, said right away, well, that's a non-starter.
Right.
And we all know that Planned Parenthood is going to keep doing abortions. So
the largest abortion provider in the world.
Right. In the world. So it's going to be interesting to see if and when this is finally voted on, this act that was presented to the public last night, if the defunding of Planned Parenthood is going to still be in there. Because there's even a fight within the Republican Party once again. They kind of hold out, you know, the other things, the breast examinations, et cetera, that Planned Parenthood supposedly does as being, you know, the public needs that. So we will have to wait and see. There's going to be, as I say, a big fight within the Republican family before it ever gets to the Democrats.
That's a pretty brilliant move on Trump's part, though, when you think about it, to say, oh, if you don't do abortions, then we can give you some money. And they go, well, that's a non-starter. Wait, you're always saying that abortions are only 3% of what you do, which isn't the case. But you're always saying that. If it's only 3%, what's the big deal? Because it's not – it's the way they calculate the 3%, which is ridiculous. And the way they calculate it would be analogous to saying that Major League Baseball is in the business of selling hot dogs. Okay? That's what Major League Baseball is all about. It's about it's the hot dog industry. You know, it's completely incidental to what they do. No, Major League Baseball's in the business of baseball, not hot dogs. Hot dogs are incidental. Similarly with Planned Parenthood, they're in the business of abortion. Anything else they do is incidental to that.
I don't know how Frank comes up with these examples. I just got to admit publicly that I steal stuff from Frank all the time, and I'm going to steal that.
Well, actually, to be honest, I think I may have read that. I think Rich Lowry may have said that originally. It was from a column a couple of years ago. I said, that's a good analogy. I just tend to remember things like that. Analogies really help. He's saying, look, Major League Baseball's not in the hot dog business, but if they were to say they were and baseball's only 3% of what they do, we'd all laugh.
Well, listen, if I'm stealing from somebody who stole it from someone else, it's not stealing.
Then it's not really stealing. That's right.
Look, if I had to give credit for everything I learned, here's how much I'd say.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Ray, let me ask you this. Now, we just have a major problem in Washington, D.C. I'm not sure, you know, we had hopes that Donald Trump would drain the swamp. I'm not sure there's any draining that thing because it is clear to me that the majority of the Republicans, let's not talk about the Democrats, the majority of the Republicans in this country, at least those in Washington, have already bought into the whole concept that the federal government should be involved in the healthcare industry. They're just moving stuff around. I wish I could come up with a Frank Turek metaphor that he's stolen from somebody, but this is like it's a shell game here. The Republicans and the Democrats all believe, and so all the Republicans are trying to do is we're going to move this cup around a little bit, and you're not going to see what's under it, but it's the same game.
You know, I think the Democrats would be wise to just sit back and cheer on as the Republicans fight each other, because it will be, to me, the biggest challenge is going to be, is there going to be a way to get the Republicans in the House and the Republicans in the Senate together? Because they have the votes, right?
Right.
If they get united, I'm not sure there's any bridging the gap inside the Republican Party.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting. But the the positive note I will say is this bill was introduced in a committee, which most bills are. But in past, they passed these jumbo bills, these big budget bills, and they slap amendments onto them, and there's just so much that it's you can't comprehend it possibly as an average American. But this is a single standalone bill, easy to read. It's 66 pages, which surprisingly that's not many compared to most bills. And the committees can actually add amendments, take away stuff. And so it's going to go through a process, hopefully, that'll refine it and make it better.
This one has the endorsement already of the Health and Human Services Secretary, Dr. Tom Price. He's in full praise of it. So that's an important.
And this is an important issue for him. He's worked a long time on the possible replacement legislation if Obamacare could ever be however you describe it, repeal and replace, you know, dump the whole thing, tweak it. There's all kinds of approaches to this.
I thought it was pretty interesting that President Trump tweeted earlier this morning, quote, "Our wonderful new health care bill is now out for review and negotiation."
So, well, can we all agree that, and I haven't read the bill, 66 pages, can we all agree that whatever it is, it's got to be better than what we currently have?
Yes, we agree.
Yeah. All right, good. Well, we're halfway home.
We got some agreement. Fred, what's the process? The schedule, I mean, is this just something like Walker suggested, they're just going to be batting around for a while and making some changes? I am heartened by the fact, as Walker noted, I've been saying for years, these huge omnibus bills ought to become a thing of the past. Mm-hmm. You want to pass a transportation bill, it should all be about transportation. I mean, you shouldn't be able to put poison pills in it. You shouldn't be able to add your favorite pork project to a transportation bill to guarantee that it gets passed. And so it is a little heartening that they're just, at least at the outset, having this about health insurance.
Well, I think there is a bit of deadline pressure on this because they've got to get a new law in place probably in the next 4 to 5 months. And the reason I say that, if they don't have it in place by September, then Obamacare kicks in again for another year, and then people have to get the contracts with Obamacare with the existing law. Mm-hmm. So there is some pressure on the Republicans. Got to get this nailed down in the next 4 or 5 months in order that you have the new law in place so people can start signing up for the particulars of this new act.
Frank Turek, host of the radio program Cross-Examined. Frank, thanks so much for being with us today.
Great being with you. Let's pass this bill so we can see what's in it, guys.
Folks, listen, there is no shortage of laughing matters and matters to make you weep coming out of D.C. Nowadays. And we got some other very important issues to discuss as today's issues continues. It is Tuesday, March 7th. This is American Family Radio. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we will continue with Sandy Rios. And boy, she always has some interesting things to tell us about what's going on in the nation's capital. We'll be back in a moment.
On the next Today's Issues, our guest will be Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Oh, in case some of you didn't know, news is supposed to be unbiased. I'm a commentator. I'm not supposed to be unbiased. But news reports in a newspaper are supposed to report the news, not commentate on someone feeling like king in his Florida castle.
That and more on the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Whoa, we have not had a response like this before. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We've been doing these spiritual heritage tours for like 20 years. We're sold out for June already, if you can believe that. We've got space left on our September tours of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and then Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. We call them spiritual heritage tours, and I don't know how long these September seats will last. So what do you attribute that to, someone might ask? Maybe it's the fact that we have a new person occupying the White House. Maybe that has something to do with it. But in any event, we welcome you to come with us on our September Spiritual Heritage Tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. Those are two separate trips. You can do both, or you can do one or the other. We'd love to have you. Go to spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next.
Liberty University's in the business of training champions for Christ, the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 500 programs of study, along with an online degree program designed for thousands of active duty and military veterans. Beyond the classroom, students meet together weekly for worship and to hear from some of the nation's leading experts in the arts, politics, and business. Liberty University, committed to academic excellence with a Christian worldview.
When President Obama unleashed his plan to radically transform our great nation, many people were outraged. They lashed out in anger, but not in violence. I can't recall a single instance of an Obama supporter being bloodied or beaten. But that is certainly not the case in the early days of the Trump administration. Liberals are on a rampage, marching in the streets, attacking Trump supporters, attempting to silence speech they disagree with. It happened again over the weekend in Berkeley. Left-wing agitators brutally attacked attendees at a pro-Trump rally. They burned American flags, knocked an elderly man to the ground. It's not the first time such an incident has occurred, and I doubt it will be the last. There seems to be some sort of concerted effort to bring down President Trump and punish his supporters. Who or what is behind this plot is not exactly clear, but it certainly smells like the work of a community organizer. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I am joined in studio by Fred Jackson, Ray Pritchard, Walker Wildman. And it's always a delight to have on Tuesdays. Generally, it's always on Tuesdays to have Sandy Rios, who's AFA Director of Governmental Affairs. She's also host of Sandy Rios in the Morning that is heard on AFR Talk each weekday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time. Sandy, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we always like to kind of pick your brain about what's going on in D.C. You have so many contacts there. Fred, we are following a story, but something happened this morning on this idea of wiretapping the Trump Tower. Now, this is a story that when I first heard it, I thought, oh, this has just got to be a Trump, you know, morning when he tweeted something he shouldn't have tweeted. It sounds far-fetched, the federal government. Now I'm reading on the Drudge Report, WikiLeaks, talking about the CIA watching people through their televisions. But tell us what happened this morning, and then we want to get Sandy's reaction to it.
Yeah, just very quickly on the WikiLeaks, what they did a huge dump again this morning on from CIA hacking tools. And we're just discussing in the break there, one of the tools that they use, basically, they can tap into your TV set and monitor your conversation.
Yeah, while it has a false off mode.
Yes.
It actually looks like it's off, but
while the TV, you think it's off.
You think it's off. It looks like it's a dark screen.
There's no picture.
There's no picture. they are actually able to watch and listen to what's going on in your living room. I thought that can't be true, but this is we're getting into some bizarre.
Yeah.
Now that's smart TVs only, folks. So
yes.
Maybe a lot of people going back to dumb TVs.
Let's go back to the old RCA. Anyway, Steve Jordahl, our reporter, he'll be in here in just a few moments.
Right.
He is going through all this stuff. There's some more. This is John Grisham type stuff.
Oh, John Clancy. Yeah, all those things.
Right. All this stuff
could never happen.
Yes. Anyway, what we wanted to talk about, Robbie Mook is the former Clinton campaign manager. And I'm not sure it's the first time, but he did agree to go on Fox and Friends this morning. One of the first questions they asked him, how come you wouldn't come on with us during the election campaign? Oh, well, you know, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, they're talking about the bugging and how, you know, the Russians know what's going on, and et cetera, et cetera. And then they got into some, the host of the program got some into some really interesting questions about, well, how do you know, Mr. Mook, about, you know, the Flynn connection, General Flynn connection, and how he, those conversations were monitored, and who told you? Some very interesting comments on this, and we want to play it for you right now.
Keep in mind, Hillary Clinton said this in 2016 in a tweet. Computer scientists have apparently uncovered a covert server linking the Trump Organization to a Russian-based bank. Does that show there's been some surveillance there, and somehow the intelligence got to you guys?
Well, I think it's important to step back, first of all, and remember the facts here. The facts are that Trump aides were caught talking to Russian agents, and those conversations were captured because the intelligence community regularly taps the phone lines of those Russian agents. So I think it's important to start there.
You're saying there was a wiretap? You say there was a wiretap?
That there was a wiretap of Russian agents, and that those Russian agents were communicating with Trump staff. That's why they were picked up.
How do you know
that? That's what the intelligence community has told us. That's what's been reported very widely. Those are the facts.
Oh, so there you have it. Let's not talk about how we got the information. Let's just talk about what happened when we got the information.
Mm-hmm. Sandy, give us your reaction to that.
I'm just wondering how the Hillary Clinton campaign knew that there. Why she just admitted that they had that that they were told that.
Right.
Why were they told that? Mm-hmm. She was a candidate, for heaven's sake. Why was she told that there were wiretaps, in the Trump Tower against Michael Flynn and others? You know, this is very dangerous. I have to say, as much as we'll find humor in it and we will laugh, this is extremely dangerous because I do not think Donald Trump has overstated this at all. I want to just point out that remember that under the Obama administration, Angela Merkel was taped. So was Ban Ki-moon. So was James Rosen. We could go on and on. There's a long list of people who found out that their phone lines were invaded and they were upset and it became public. I'm sure there are a lot more than that. Now, it's possible, you know, when you go into a FISA court, The S part of FISA is surveillance. It means you go in for permission to surveil. So the hair splitting here, according to Christian Adams, is that Donald Trump may have used the word wiretap when it was much worse than that, much deeper, much more invasive, and that then the FBI director, who has not said anything officially, it's just leaked to the New York Times, that, oh, no, there were no wiretaps. Look, that may not be nearly enough to describe what actually went on. I believe that there is absolute truth to this. The people that I know here in D.C. talk about the deep state, and you're hearing this morning from this WikiLeaks account just how invasive it is and how dangerous. And we know that over the last 8 years that the people in our intelligence agencies, certainly the top echelon, have been handpicked. They are leftists. They are not American patriots. There are hardly any left. We know that the head of the CIA, John Brennan, voted for the Communist Party candidate in 1980 for president out of his own lips. He told us that. He laughed about it, said he was worried that he would not be able to pass the security clearance. We have serious, serious problems.
And I think that people need to, I don't know if you guys saw this yesterday, the Daily Mail did a very long article on Donald Trump's alleged fit after this information, after his tweets, after before he tweeted, and when he found out what he allegedly thinks he knows about Barack Obama surveilling Trump Tower.
Sandy, just to clarify, are you saying there is a difference? We're talking about difference of words between wiretapping and surveillance. What's the difference there?
Well, wiretapping is kind of the old-fashioned limited way where they would tap your phone.
Right.
Surveillance means in, you know, televisions, computers, fake cameras. Surveillance can be very broad.
Listening to your cell phone conversation.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, exactly. Any surveillance covers the whole gambit. And my friends say that it was because Donald Trump used the word wiretap that was, you know, our understanding. You and I'd probably say wiretap too, because we don't know all of the proper language. But it was no doubt the, well, look, how did they get that information about Michael Flynn and the Russian, the Russian? It was through, he was in Trump Tower, for heaven's sake. So why is it such a shock that Donald Trump should say?
And he was a private citizen at the time, right? Wasn't he?
And he was a private citizen, and there were three others named, we know for sure, that had been, had their conversations monitored, however they were monitored. Whether it was actually Donald Trump, we don't know that part yet. But why not? Yeah. If they will tap Angela Merkel, why wouldn't they tap Donald Trump?
Yeah, Sandy, I think it's important to note that I just forgot what I was going to say.
Well, that is important.
I had a great thought, and I signaled to Ed that I wanted to talk, and then I couldn't find it.
All right, hey, listen, that problem only gets worse as you get older, Walker. So,
yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, think it'll come back to you. If you're young, it'll come back to you quicker than it would for me.
Yeah, at least I admitted it.
You admit
it. I didn't go,
Listen, everybody here has done a lot of radio for a long time. I have, on many occasions, opened my mouth and forgot what I was about to say.
Yeah.
Listen, by the way, folks.
I remembered it.
Okay. Go right now.
Just in time. Yeah, I was going to say that it's important to remember when people like Robbie Mook say Russian agents, Trump campaign talked to Russian agents, that sounds like there's some undercover operatives, CIA person. That just means there's someone associated with the Russian government. It could be an ambassador or any other representative. It does not mean that this is some kind of, you know, illegal activity going on. They use that word to get your average American confused. Agent, does that mean it's like like a spy agent?
Well, and let me just jump in here before I forget what I was going to say too, Sandy. the Russian foreign minister, I forget the gentleman's name. That a lot of this was initially
Kislyak. Kislyak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Everyone kept referring to him as a well-known Russian spy, and I thought, well, that's an oxymoron. If he's a spy, nobody should know.
That's right. That's
so
right.
How can you be a well-known Russian spy? The Orwellian attack on Republicans in general, but the Trump administration in particular, Sandy, is just amazing. But the media is just all in for the most part.
They're all in, and but people have to. This is why they depend on us for the facts. And here are the facts. James Clapper, director of National Intelligence, former, said in an interview with, I think it was NBC on Sunday, that there is no connection. They found no connection, none, zero, zed, nada, connection between the Trump campaign and the Russians. Any collusion, they found none. The assistant FBI director approached Reince Priebus in the White House, nearly 2 weeks ago, singled him out and said, Reince, we just so you know, we have found nothing. The FBI investigation has turned up nothing. So Reince Priebus says, well, then would you please make a public statement? Oh, no, we can't do that. So there is nothing here. If you want to know about connections to Russia, I'll look at the article just this morning in the Daily Caller about Podesta, John Podesta's brother, Tony. They're very close. They both work in Washington. Tony has taken hundreds of thousands of dollars from the Russians, from the Russian bank, to try to get the United States to drop the sanctions against Russia. Mm. He's taken millions of dollars from this Russian bank. He's a paid operative of the Russian government.
And now, so we could say that these are Russian agents, couldn't we?
Right. Oh, we could say that. Absolutely. No, Walker, you are totally spot on. It's language. This is what they do. I started to mention this Daily Mail article, which is just incredible to me. It says something, the headline, I don't have it in front of me, something like Trump, you know, erupts and, you know, and blasts his staff and tells Reince Priebus and Steve Bannon they cannot go with him to Mar-a-Lago and blah, 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 blah. And then you keep reading in the same article, and it says that Reince Priebus and, Steve Bannon, in conversation, volunteered or suggested that they stay back in Washington while Trump go to Mar-a-Lago, and Trump agreed in the same article where it repeatedly says he was so mad at them they were not allowed to come. And then it says in another place, Steve Bannon was not even allowed to enter Air Force One with Donald Trump. He had to take a different entrance. Well, nobody ever goes up those steps with the president except the president and his wife. Mm-hmm. So they saw Steve Bannon going in the side entrance. And then they say later, after they've said three times in the article that Donald Trump was so mad he told them they could not come with him to Mar-a-Lago, it says the next day Steve Bannon flew down to Mar-a-Lago. It's not clear if that was already on his schedule. It's that fake news thing. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you can believe, except we want people to understand that we do our best to tell them the truth. We're not trying to spin or lie or mold or manipulate. And that's why American Family Radio has taken on, I think, incredible importance in this atmosphere.
Well, and folks, we invite you, if you want to know the truth, to listen in each weekday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time to AFR Talk. Sandy Rios in the morning. Sandy Rios has been our guest. She's Director of Governmental Affairs for AFA. Sandy, thank you so much for keeping such a close eye on what's happening in Washington, D.C. and reporting to our listeners and to us here on today's issues, because now more than ever, Americans must be informed or they are going to be overwhelmed by the sleight of hand and, yes, the lies that are coming from much of the media today.
And no doubt about it, Ed. And thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to join you guys and to have a little laughs in the middle of this terrible news.
That's right.
I appreciate it.
Got to. Thank you, Sandy.
Yeah, okay.
Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Okay, bye-bye.
Well, Fred, one of the things that we've been talking about this week and last week was Jeff Sessions. Again, this whole Russian thing, which seems to be what the Democrats and the news media, which maybe in the past I might have said this is an overstatement, but seems more and more to clearly be simply an extension of the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. Their coverage has just been so one-sided, with the exception of Fox and some good websites and us. I think we're trying to do a good job to be impartial. But this thing, the Russians, like an attack dog, the left has seized upon it, will not let it go, almost in a sense literally making something out of nothing.
Exactly.
And Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, recused himself from the demands for further probes into this Russian thing, which is in itself inexplicable why he recused himself while insisting that he's done nothing wrong and, as far as we can tell, has done nothing wrong.
Well, that's what he's saying. And let's go back to, was it last Thursday when he held that news conference at the Justice Department in the wake of the accusation that he perjured himself during his confirmation hearings. When he was asked by Senator Franken, did you have contact with the Russians during the 2016 election campaign? Then Senator Sessions said no. Talk in the context, they believe that, did you talk about the election to any Russian officials? Mm-hmm. Well, then it comes out that certainly during the election campaign, then Senator Sessions was at a big meeting where there were a bunch of foreign diplomats and happened to run into a Russian, I don't know, foreign minister, whatever the case may be. And then it was also learned that he had a meeting in his office, then as a member, Senator Sessions, as a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, It is not uncommon for foreign representatives to want to meet with the senators to make their points about international affairs. In this case, Senator Sessions, again as part of this committee, had met the week before with somebody from the Ukraine, one of the representatives of the Ukrainian government, to give their side of what's going on in Crimea. So the Russians wanted to come in and say, we want to have our say to you, so you have fair and balanced, all right? So they come in and talk about that. There were two people in the office with Senator Sessions, and he said, they'll testify. The election didn't come up. Nothing was said about the election. So it was a bit puzzling then when it came out last week that Senator Sessions said, well, okay, when it comes to the investigation, now Attorney General Sessions, when it comes to the investigation, this ongoing investigation of alleged Russian involvement in the election campaign, I'll recuse myself. Well, the report was that President Trump was very upset with that. Attorney General Sessions did not consult with the White House before making that announcement public to the world last Thursday afternoon. And the point being, if he did nothing wrong, and he clearly states this, what he has done, he wrote an article going through point by point about his non-contact with the Russians about the election campaign, released that yesterday. Here's what we talked about, et cetera, et cetera. So again, he's saying we did nothing wrong. And the point is, why recuse yourself? Because when you recuse yourself, it's kind of a partial admission that I might be biased in all of this and I can't be step back from it all. If you did nothing wrong, Attorney General Sessions, and this is what President Trump was saying, then don't recuse yourself. Be involved with this, because the other danger in this is that the underlings, the people under Attorney General Sessions in the Justice Department and Christopher Adams.
Are you talking about Christian Adams?
Christian Adams. Yeah. Made this point again this morning. The underlings, for the most part, are Obama appointees.
Yeah, they haven't moved out yet. Mm-hmm.
No. And J. Christian Adams was saying, you know, that 90% of the Justice Department staff donate money to the Democratic Party. And so he basically threw this bomb, this Russian, alleged Russian involvement in the election campaign, threw it into the hands of the Democratic supporters at the Justice Department. Is it any wonder why President Trump was upset about this?
Well, Ray, you know, it there's so much about politics nowadays. It shouldn't be this way. I mean, I would say there's so much about politics nowadays that is based on perception.
Right.
You'd think logically it wouldn't be that way because we have so much information. And we have so much information, what people decide in terms of their political views should be based on facts. But it's almost as if the sheer amount of information makes it almost easier to base your decisions on perception, because you don't have time to sift through all the facts, so you just simply you listen to the headlines or you listen to Stephen Colbert or you know, and you get your perception about what's true and what's false, what's right and what's wrong based on perception.
No, I'm sitting here trying to think about Jeff Sessions, who's a very good man. Mm-hmm. What could have been going through his mind? Did he think about later some other conversations that haven't come out yet? I mean, that's possible.
Right.
Did he simply feel the overwhelming political pressure? Maybe that just piled in on him. The question I have is, given all of that, why didn't he at least contact the White House? That's pretty unusual, isn't it? Before the Attorney General recused himself, wouldn't he have called, you know, somebody over there?
He could strategize or something.
Right, right. You know? What do we make of that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe things were happening so fast that he just he did talk to some of the ethics people that are in the Justice Department, who were, my understanding is that they were all still leftovers from the Obama administration.
Right.
And they told him, well, you kind of have to. And apparently from what we're hearing, okay, he made the decision without strategizing with the White House.
Does this mean the ongoing investigation will still be led, quote, by the Justice Department, but he will not have any part in it?
Correct.
Yeah.
The I don't know the title of the individual under Jeff Sessions, but it's an Obama appointee.
Yes.
It's
the Assistant Attorney General.
Right.
And today, just before I came into the studio, There are hearings for the person that President Trump wants to replace, that assistant attorney general. But for the moment, for the most part, the rest of the Justice Department is made up of Obama people.
Right.
So understand the political chemistry here.
Yeah.
Is that you've got people still loyal to the Democratic Party who are working underneath Attorney General Sessions, and he's handed them the ball.
There are legitimate cases where individuals should recuse themselves.
Of course.
I mean, we saw Loretta Lynch, then Attorney General, meeting on a tarmac,
right,
supposed to be privately, with former President Bill Clinton,
mm-hmm,
the husband of candidate Hillary Clinton, who was under investigation by the DOJ. They met on a tarmac, I think, in Arizona during the campaign,
mm-hmm,
and some local reporter happened to see them, and Secret Service was trying to keep it on the down low. Anyways, it comes out, well, she should have recused herself from the Hillary Clinton investigation over her emails, but she did not. That I see that as a legitimate reason to recuse yourself, and there are several other things. So I think, you know, it's important as Republicans that we don't just say, no, we're not going to recuse ourselves because look what Loretta Lynch did. We really have to look at our case by case and see, is there a reasonable cause for us to recuse ourselves? I think in Jeff Sessions' case, there wasn't, unless he's somehow guilty of something, which I don't think he is. But he may have been trying to be kind of oversensitive, mm-hmm, to make sure he doesn't appear like he's like everybody else.
Well, I think, you know, part of the question was, and I don't have a problem if Jeff Sessions had talked it over with President Trump, and they said together, well, the part of the investigation is regarding what you had, what conversations you might have had during the campaign. Therefore, you probably should, you know, might not be able to be independently minded and, mm-hmm, fair-minded. So that's, to me, that's one thing.
Right.
But I think where Jeff Sessions has kind of gotten himself into a jam here is apparently, again, from what we have heard, he did not have that conversation with the Trump administration. And I would not have had a problem with him coming out and saying, no, listen, I answered Senator Al Franken's question honestly. Now, this probe is not going to be about that. This probe is going to be about, did the Russians influence anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's a legitimate, you know, way that you say, I'm not going to recuse myself.
Yeah. And it's the House that's really carrying out this investigation. But by removing himself, he cannot work. He cannot,
right,
talk to anybody in the House who's investigating this. He's basically saying, I'm out of it. And that, what President Trump is upset about, that's removing the Justice Department from that equation, and they are needed in this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
They are needed in this investigation.
One thing I was telling Ed earlier this week, earlier as in yesterday, was Monday,
yeah,
that, you know, these media storms, this blowback that the media and the left brings on individuals like Jeff Sessions, it lasts about 48 hours maximum,
mm-hmm,
sometimes 24 hours, and the news cycle changes, everybody forgets about it. And so I think if Sessions, Attorney General Sessions, would have just weathered the storm, met with the president, got on the same page, issued a statement, and then moved on, now we would be talking about the immigration order or other things. But instead, I guess he felt the pressure and had to move.
Quick question. Does this go to an independent prosecutor or special counsel?
I personally don't think it rises to the level requiring an independent prosecutor. But you know what? The Republicans are, for the most part, they act like cowards.
Mm-hmm.
They get a little media pressure and they fold. I don't think this rises. Now, if the House investigates and they find that maybe something did happen,
mm-hmm,
then maybe you say, well, we need an independent prosecutor because we want this to be, the American people to see this as being a nonpartisan investigation. But I have seen nothing at this point to indicate that the Russians had any influence on the election, nor that there was any cooperation with the Republican,
right,
Party. So,
yeah,
anyway, I guess we'll find out because this is not going away anytime soon. All right, we're going to take a 5-minute break for news. When we come back, Steve Jordahl, we're talking about the government spying on you through your television. Can you believe that?
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.